The Song of Songs, beginning tonight at chapter 2, verse 8. Now, I know last week you had 7 times that you had to stand up for the scripture reading last week. Tonight, only 2. 2 songs. And now the first one, chapter 2, verse 8 through verse 17. Let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's word. One other reminder, there is a translation in your notes again tonight that you can follow along in that. Song of Songs, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. The voice of my beloved future husband. Behold, he is coming, leaping on the mountains, springing upon the hills. My beloved future husband is like a gazelle or a young deer. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He's gazing through the lattice. My beloved future husband spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the rainy season is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers have appeared in the land. The time for singing has come, so the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened her green figs, and the vines in great blossom have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway. Let me see your appearance. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your appearance is beautiful. Catch the foxes for us, little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in grape blossom. My beloved future husband is mine, and I am his. He is shepherding among the lilies until the break of day, when the shadows flee away. Return, my beloved future husband, and be like a gazelle or a young deer on the clipped mountains." Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Song of Songs and this portion of your word tonight that we will be looking at. Lord, again this evening, help us to see it and read it and understand it in its context and grasp the story that it is telling. And Lord, from it may marriages be helped and may your people be built and encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we come tonight to idyll number 2. If you remember idyll number 1, we might say the first episode in the Song of Songs that we looked at last time. We saw the initial attraction that the woman and the man had for one another, and how that was expressed, even some concerns about her appearance and those things. By the way, and I did get a question about this from last week, we did see last week that the woman is black. And the question came, was Solomon black? And the answer is very possibly yes. We don't know that for sure, but very possibly yes. So just as you're thinking about some of those things. So we saw that last time, the beginning of their courtship, their expressions of interest and love toward one another, and how that began to deepen and develop. Now, tonight in Idyll number 2, or episode number 2, we see the story of how their courtship, the courtship between the man and the woman, advances and deepens to the point of the offer and acceptance of the marriage proposal, followed by some accompanying concerns, mostly on the part of the woman. In other words, after she said yes, then she started having dreams like, what have I gotten myself into? Okay? So that's what's happening in Idyll number 2. Idyll number 2 has 2 songs in it, and the first one we just read, it's song number 8 in the whole book, The Woman's Song of Spring, from chapter 2, verse 8, all the way to verse 17 at the end of the chapter. Now, the theme of this song, The Woman's Song of Spring, is this. The woman is singing of her desire for the man, her anticipation of his marriage proposal, his desire for her, she's singing about that, his desire for her and the marriage proposal, their mutual commitment to purity, and her acceptance of his proposal. So that is verse 8 through verse 17. Well, let's look at some details in this, and then we'll kind of put it together so that you can see what is going on there. Now, in verse 8, you see it as my beloved, and you'll see in my translation, I translated it, my beloved future husband. There is a reason for that. Here in 2:8, and you also see it in 2:9 and 2:10 and 2:16. my beloved future husband. The word is dodi. We pointed that out last week in chapter 1, verse 2b. And remember that your love, your marital love, is better than wine. Also in 4D, we will extol your marital love with wine. And chapter 1, verse 13, my beloved future husband. Chapter 1, verse 14, my beloved future husband. Chapter 1, verse 16, how handsome you are, my beloved future husband. And again, we saw it in chapter 2, verse 3. So is my beloved future husband among the sons or the young men. Dodi is a word that has to do with marital love. So when she says, my beloved, she's saying more than, I really like him. She's saying, this is the one that I see as my future husband. He is my dodi, my beloved. By the way, keep dodi in mind because that will keep coming up throughout the Song of Songs. So that we see here in this section, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 16. In verse 10, we see my darling. Also in verse 13, we see my darling. This is how the man addresses the woman before they are married. He calls her my darling. The Hebrew is rayati, and we were introduced to that last week in chapter 1, verse 9, chapter 1, verse 15, and chapter 2, verse 2. So you've already seen a lot about that, but we see it in this passage as well. In verse 10, when the man says to the woman, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. You see that again at the end of verse 13. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. That is the marriage proposal. This is exactly what the woman was envisioning back in chapter 1, verse 4. Remember, she sang and she was envisioning, draw me after you and we will run together. Draw me. Could even say drag me. But she was envisioning that he would draw her and they would run together. That is, they would always be together. They would be married. And here he says to her, arise and come along. Okay, that is the marriage proposal. Now, if that doesn't quite make sense to you yet, hold on. It'll get clearer as we go. In the context of it, verse 11, he says, "For behold," and quite literally, the Hebrew word satav means rainy season. Though it could be translated winter, but you do realize in Israel, winter doesn't quite work the same way that it does here. It does get cooler, and it does get cloudier and darker, but mostly it starts raining during that time. Now, the word satav, winter or rainy season, actually comes from an obscure, in fact, virtually unused Hebrew root meaning to hide. And you say, well, what does that have to do with winter or rainy season? Well, the idea is the clouds and all of that are hiding the light, the sunlight. So very, very literally, the man is saying the time for hiding is over. The season of hiding is over. Winter is over. The rainy season is over. That's done. There's no more reason for our relationship to be hidden in any way. That season is over. In verse 12 and verse 13, there is all of this very, very springtime language that goes on. Flowers. The flowers have appeared in the land. We begin to see the flowers. The time for singing has come, so the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. That is, the birds are singing. Flowers are coming out, the birds are singing. The fig tree has ripened her vines. And that, by the way, is much better than the time has arrived for pruning the vines. No, this is the ripening of figs. The figs are green on the fig tree now. They are ripening. The vines in grape blossom have given forth their fragrance. So the fig tree has ripened its figs. The vines in blossom have given forth their fragrance. All of this springtime language. What is the point of this? Rainy season is over. The rain's gone. It's now spring. The time for the hiding of the relationship is over. His point is, the time has arrived. It's springtime. The time has arrived for our marriage. We're both ready now. The time has arrived for our marriage. Therefore, he is giving his proposal. Arise and come along. It's springtime. Let's go. It's time to get married. Verse 15. The little foxes that are ruining the vineyards. Vineyards, again, these are forms of the Hebrew word karem. And we saw that word last time in chapter 1, verse 6. And pointed out this word, yes, it means vineyards. But it is used figuratively in the Song of Songs for sexuality. So, verse 15, this is actually both the man and the woman singing together, saying, catch the foxes for us. The little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in grape blossom. The point is, don't let anything, now that he has proposed to her, and we're going to see her acceptance of it in just a moment, but do not let anything ruin the purity of their relationship at all, but including their physical relationship, their sexual relationship. Don't let this be ruined. We are, we might say, in sexual blossom. We are anticipating this and we're ready, and there can be all kinds of little foxes, temptations, the influences of other people, other things that would come along to push us into something prematurely. They say, catch that and don't let that happen. They're concerned about safeguarding the purity of their relationship. Verse 16, my beloved future husband is mine. Mine is the Hebrew word li. He is mine. And I am his. His is the Hebrew word lo. So, and this is very poetic. She's singing li lo. Li lo. He's mine. I am his. This shows her acknowledgement and acceptance of the marriage proposal. They now belong to each other. She is his, he is hers. Li lo. We would say they're a couple. They're now a couple. They are together. They belong to each other. And you might clarify, they're an engaged couple. They're a couple, and that's how she said it. My beloved future husband is mine, and I'm his. She has agreed to the proposal. And I will point out at the end of verse 17, the language like a gazelle or a young deer on the mountains. And a lot of your versions will say the mountains of Bether. Now, go ahead. You can go ahead and ask me, where are the mountains of Bether? And you know what I will say? There is no such place. Okay, that word, Bether, just means cliffs. They're clift mountains. You can't find Bether anywhere on a map. Okay? It's not a place. So I translated it on the clift mountains. So what's going on in this song of spring? In verses 8 and 9, she is envisioning him eagerly coming to propose to her. I say eagerly coming because he's leaping and springing like a gazelle or a young deer on the mountains. He's trying to get there to her place to give this proposal. And when it says that he is standing behind their wall and looking through the windows and staring through the lattice, he's not peeping. Okay? He is there and he's looking for her because he wants to propose to her. Okay, that's not something, well, now just look, he's just peeping through the window, you know. No, that's not the idea at all. He's looking for her to propose to her. And you can see that eagerness as well at the end of verse 17. That the gazelle and young deer are in verse 9 and again in verse 17 gives us good reason to believe that from verse 8 all the way through verse 17 is one song. Okay, it's all together. Verses 10 through 14, he expresses his desire, referring to her as his darling, his beautiful one, referring to the sweetness of her voice in verse 14 and the beauty of her appearance in verse 14. So he expresses that desire. He acknowledges that the time is now right for marriage. It's springtime. And he proposes to her. Arise and come along. Then in verse 15, they safeguard their mutual commitment to sexual purity, keeping anything from ruining their relationship. Keep those little foxes out of our vineyard. Don't let anything ruin our relationship. And then in verses 16 and 17, she gladly acknowledges and accepts his proposal. So that is the song of spring, and I think you can see what has happened here. So that by the end of chapter 2, you would say they are now engaged to be married. That brings us to song number 9, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, The Woman's Fearful Dream. And let's stand together as we honor the reading of God's Word, chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 5. On my bed, night after night, I sought him whom my entire being loves. I sought him, but did not find him. So I said to myself, I must arise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the plazas. I must seek him whom my entire being loves. I sought him, but did not find him. The watchman, making rounds in the city, found me. So I asked them, have you seen him whom my entire being loves? Shortly after I had left them, I found him whom my entire being loves. I held on to him and would not let him go until I had brought him to my mother's house and into the bedchamber of her who conceived me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelle bucks and does of the field, that you do not arouse or awaken love until she pleases. You may be seated. Now, the theme of this ninth song is the woman is singing to her friends, recounting a recurring dream she had involving her fear of what might happen after she and her husband are married. Now let's look at some notes again, and then we'll put it together. Chapter 3, verse 1. On my bed, night after night. This is the heading for this song, indicating that this is a recurring dream. On my bed, night after night. By the way, and I would imagine the ladies can agree with this and understand this. This is exactly how you would share a dream that you'd been having with your friends. You'd start out saying, I've been having this dream every night, night after night. And then they're going, okay, what is it? Tell us. And then she starts to tell them. So the phrase, on my bed, night after night, is when she was having this dream. Now, what's in the dream? Still in chapter 3, verse 1. My dream is, I sought him, whom my soul loves. I sought my love, the one I love with my entire being. I sought him, but I didn't find him. He wasn't there. Verse 2, she says again at the end of verse 2, I sought him, but did not find him. Her dream involves her fear that at some point after they're married, he's going to leave her. She's going to wake up in the middle of the night and he's not there. Okay? Now, that didn't happen. It's a dream. Okay? It's very important because if you don't realize this is a dream, you wonder what's going on here. This is a dream. So she's been dreaming that. I wake up in the middle of the night, he's not there. He's gone. So she goes out and looks for him, and eventually she finds him. You see that the city watchman found her, came across her. She asked them, have you seen him? And apparently they hadn't, and she had barely left them, verse 4, when she found him. When she found him, verse 4 says, she held on to him and would not let him go. Now, in some ways, that might sound rather romantic. Okay, she held on to him and would not let him go. But remember, this is a fearful dream. And what she's really concerned about is, okay, if he leaves me, I'm going to become very, very controlling. I'm going to grab onto him, not let him go, and I'm not going to go back to our home. I'm taking him home to my mother. And I'm taking him into her room, and he's going to be accountable to her. Okay? She's concerned about this. Hold on to him and would not let him go probably indicates that her dream involves her fear that she would become controlling in order to prevent him from leaving her. That is, she's going to keep him at her mother's house because she doesn't trust him or his love. Because after all, he left her in the dream. Remember, this is all still a dream. Now, verse 5, O you daughters of Jerusalem. We have met the daughters of Jerusalem in chapter 1, verse 5, and chapter 2, verse 7 already. And the daughters of Jerusalem are the woman's friends. So that's who she's reporting this dream to. And verse 5 of chapter 3 is identical to chapter 2, verse 7. So when it says that you will not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases. The she refers to her love, because the word love is feminine in form. So don't arouse, don't awaken love prematurely. Be patient. So, what is the content of this song? The very first statement in verse 1, her statement that this is a recurring dream. Then the rest of verse 1 through verse 4, her recounting of her recurring dream to her friends. Okay, in my dream, I saw that he wasn't there. He left. So I went out and looked for him, but I couldn't find him. I finally asked the watchman. They couldn't tell me. Eventually, I found him. And once I found him, I grabbed onto him, wouldn't let him go, and took him home to mommy's house. That's her dream. That's what she says to her friends. And then in verse 5, she charges her friends to help her maintain proper patience. Be patient. And by the way, maintain proper perspective too. You know, hey, this was a dream. Any good friend would say to her, you know what? It was a dream. Stop worrying about this. Be patient. Stop worrying about this. Trust him. Maintain proper patience, proper perspective, and proper purity. Don't arouse love prematurely. And so, as these two songs, the song of spring, her proposal, and the song of her fearful dream, her concern, we put those together in the context of this section, what's obvious? She is looking forward to her wedding day, which is what we see in the next idyll, the next section for next week. You say, how long between the proposal, their engagement, and the wedding? And the answer is probably only weeks. It is not a long engagement, and certainly not a long, 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 long engagement. It's pretty brief. And so the wedding day is coming. Well, we have some more episodes to come, and the next one involves the wedding procession and the wedding night. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you that we can see in this that you are very desirous of couples maintaining purity, entering into this in the right way, and even of good and godly friends that would help them to maintain their purity and their right attitudes. So, Lord, we thank you for this tonight. Use it to help some, maybe as they anticipate such things. And Lord, use it to help others who may have children, grandchildren, friends, others who need this kind of episode in their lives to help them. Now, Lord, as we go tonight, we pray throughout this week that you would use the light of our lives, the gospel that shines forth from us and through us by our words. You would use that in the lives of people, and that they might believe, trust in Jesus for their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.